You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program on KFAR Radio.
Well, I was going to wait and see if he brought it up, but we're almost out of time, and Stu avoided the real story to cover up his lies on climate change. You know, Stu, you've been saying climate change is a hoax for a very long time now, and your lies are fine. The chickens are finally coming home to roost.
I don't think I...
There is a story that is out right now, and you won't have another answer, because I've noodled it, and there is no other answer to this story. Kabul, Afghanistan, a city of over 6 million people, may become the first modern city to run out of water in the next 5 years. Groundwater in the Afghan capital of Kabul dropped drastically due to over-extraction and the effects of climate change.
Oh, no.
Climate change. They say the aquifers will be dry as a bone by 2030.
Oh, no.
And they say climate change, governance failures.
What was that?
Governance failures.
Governance.
Yeah. And 2 decades of U.S.-led military intervention in Afghanistan.
So it's the United States and climate
United States
change.
Climate change, mainly.
You don't think governance failures would be a little
list? No, they have a really good government. It's stable. The people love it. They don't have a lot of crime. You do something wrong there, and they, you know, they start with your hands and then end with your head.
That's true.
So you're not drinking a lot of water over there unless you're told to drink water. So
it's hard to drink water when your head's been chopped off.
It's extremely hard. They found that. And that's one of the things I think they're doing because of climate change. They're like, we've got to keep up with this. Let's chop some heads off.
Oh, wow. So that's the solution to climate change?
Well, that's one of them. I mean, you know, who are you to say that's not a superior system?
I guess I'm just the liar that's been saying maybe we shouldn't be all that worried about climate change.
Well, when a city of over 6 million people runs out of water...
You don't think it has anything to do with the Taliban? You don't think it has anything to do with...
I could have predicted that.
Right. I think a lot of people could have predicted that coming from somebody like you.
Jeez. I mean... Okay, Stu, and just let him starve.
I didn't say that.
So last week on the Glenn Beck TV program, the Wednesday night special, we did the report, the ODNI report from Tulsi Gabbard and the Durham Annex, and that showed us way more than was reported by the media. We're getting a lot of answers that, you know, we've been asking for a very long time, and now we finally have the map. We have a really good glimpse into the entire deep state operation. And tonight, I'm going to put it all together. I'm going to map the deep state out on 3 large chalkboards, showing you what it consists of, the levers of power that it wields, and the names and organizations that operate inside of the deep state. We connect all of the dots on 3 big chalkboards tonight. This is one you do not want to miss. The Wednesday night special tonight, 9 p.m. on Blaze TV and on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Glenn Beck. Secret documents now reveal the entire deep state network, and we show it to you tonight. A special chalkboard episode you don't want to miss. Wednesday night special tonight at 9.
This is Glenn Beck.
Well, it's finally summer, and while you're enjoying the sun, your rain gutters might be quietly filling up with debris. Summer often brings heavy rainfall in many parts of the country, and if your gutters are clogged, water can overflow and lead to costly damage. In wildfire-prone areas, gutters can also trap dry, flammable debris, creating a fire hazard. We all know it's important to maintain our gutters, but I'm not going to get up on a ladder to do it myself. I'm a big fan of hiring a real professional to protect my home, and I trust Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter and gutter protection company. Right now, you can save 30% off your entire order. Just go to leaffilter.com/Glenn Beck. Leaf Filter's trusted pros will clean out, realign, and seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter's award-winning and patented technology trusted by over 1 million homeowners.
Schedule your free inspection and get up to 30% off your entire purchase at leaffilter.com/Glenn Beck. That's leaffilter.com/Glenn Beck. See a representative for warranty details.
We all know the importance of good daily habits, whether it's getting your steps in, stretching those limbs, or eating right. Doing it on the regular is key. That's why if you're dealing with everyday aches and pain, it's time to bring Relief Factor into your routine. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that fights pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a special formula of four natural ingredients. Relief Factor doesn't just mask pain, it helps reduce or even eliminate it. In fact, the longer you take it, the more effective it is. So call 1-800-4-RELIEF and try their 3-week quick start for only $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Simply call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Wherever you're having pain, don't let it keep you from living the life you want. Make Relief Factor part of your daily routine. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF.
Hi, this is Dr. Amy Seiberlich here to tell you about Health Talk. Every Saturday at noon, join Dr. Scott Looper from White Spruce Medical and special guests like me who have our fingers on the pulse of Fairbanks Golden Heart. Learn about a wide range of topics and pick up some beneficial health tips and practical health information pertinent to interior Alaskans. Listen live every Saturday at noon or online anytime at kfarradio.com. Health Talk with Dr. Looper, brought to you by White Spruce Medical. Check us out at whitesprucemedical.com.
The road is where you make it with the Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek All-Terrain Tire from GCR. Rugged Trek's aggressive tread design delivers the off- and on-road performance you need and the look you want. Versatile with comfortable all-season ride and superior traction even on snow and ice. Take control of Alaska's driving conditions. For your light truck or SUV, buy your Cooper Discoverer Rugged Trek at GCR. GCR Tires and Service, the tire guys. Taming the Alaskan road.
This is your talk station.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. Enough is enough is enough with this guy.
660 AM, KFAR, Fairbanks.
Trying to press Putin. I'm John Saucier, Fox News. President Trump says Russia will face consequences if President Putin won't agree to an end to the war in Ukraine. Here's Fox's Jared Halpern.
If Friday's summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin goes well, President Trump says there will be a second meeting that includes Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
I would like to do it almost immediately, and we'll have a quick second meeting between President Putin and President Zelensky and myself if they'd like to have me there.
The president is tempering expectations for Friday's meeting in Alaska, but says if Putin does not agree to end the war,
there will be very severe consequences.
President Trump spoke with Zelensky and other European leaders today ahead of Friday's summit. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
The United States is collecting a record amount of revenue through tariffs, but also now facing a bigger deficit than ever before.
The debt to GDP ratio has come down this year, moving in the right direction. You'll see some shrinkage from the government. That's going to come into the numbers next month. So they take some time, but we have inflation, almost no inflation. In fact, it was flat in the last report. While we're seeing record amount of tariffs coming in, so far this fiscal year, the U.S. collected $142 billion in tariffs. That's not only a record for the amount of fiscal year to date, it is a record amount for any full fiscal year in history. In the month of July alone, the U.S. collected 273% more money in tariffs than July of 2024.
Fox's Edward Lawrence. President Trump naming the Kennedy Center honors, and one of them, the rock band Kiss. I didn't know the president was a Kiss fan.
Paul Stanley, Gene Simmons, Ace Frehley, and Peter Criss. Kiss became a global phenomenon, sold more than 100 million records worldwide and produced 30 gold albums and lots of other things they produced. They made a fortune.
The award ceremony is in December. America's listening to Fox News.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with iZurvey, you can
slow it down.
iZurvey slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avacin Captid Pagel, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
The National Guard is working to prevent crime in Washington, D.C. this week. Fox's David Splund reports from our nation's capital.
Given what's happened over the past few days, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser has kept her public comments fairly calm, hesitant to outwardly criticize President Trump, who has a legal right to take control over Washington, D.C., at least for the next 28 days. Today on our local Fox affiliate, she thanked Attorney General Pam Bondi, who is, along with her team, running the police department.
We got some very positive information, I think, that came out of yesterday's meeting.
Guard troops took to their posts last night, patrolling the streets and neighborhoods. No major incidents we're aware of. I reached out to D.C. police for those crime statistics from this past week, but was referred to the White House. The press office there says there were a total of 43 arrests last night.
Some local officials have argued violent crime in Washington, D.C. is already a 30-year low and that the military deployment is driven by politics instead of facts. The Texas legislature's ability to improve disaster response post-flood is tied up in a bitter fight over Republican efforts to redraw congressional maps halfway through the decade. The Texas House at a standstill after Democrats left last week to prevent a vote on the map. Now both parties are accusing each other of abandoning Central Texas flood victims.
Both sides are now using the sadness of the Texas flood victims to make their case. Texas Republicans are saying that they can't get to the flood relief legislation because the Texas Democrats won't show up. Texas Democrats posted on X yesterday saying essentially that they won't show up because Texas Republicans are prioritizing redistricting. The statement said if and when Texas House Democrats breaking quorum decide to go home is squarely dependent on the actions the governor, speaker, and Texas Republicans in charge make with regard to prioritizing flood victims over redistricting that hurts Texas. Now, the Texas Senate did pass a redistricting map on Tuesday, despite a majority of Democrats walking out in protest, but still, that doesn't move the ball because they need the House.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Austin. In New York, I'm John Saucier, and this is Fox News.
Setting up camp is some of the most challenging work in hunting. Doing it right makes all the difference. Visit Frontier Outfitters. You'll be camping in style. Find the right gear, a great selection of tents, even wall tents. Tent wood stoves, stoves by MSR Jet Boil and Coleman, sleeping bags by Kelly, Mountain Hardware, and more. Thermarest mattresses. Transport it all with ATV accessories and trailers. Pick up everything for your comfortable, successful hunting camp from Frontier Outfitters today. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right?
Good morning, and you are tuned into Problem Corner on 660 AM, 97.5 FM, and your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, filling in for he who cannot be named, the regular host, and with me in the studio this morning is Nick Nugent, and we are going to be talking about Alaska history, and specifically George Wilhelm Steller, who was one of the first explorers for Alaska. Mr. Nugent, please introduce yourself and introduce Mr. Steller.
Okay. Well, probably most people know that I am on once a month with Alaska History, and this time we're going way back, if you will. We have George Wilhelm Steller. Steller was born in 1709, and he died in 1746. And if we think about the United States didn't buy Alaska until the 1860s,
right,
we might wonder, what did he have to do with it? He was the first European that actually set foot on any part of Alaska, so far as is known. And he was the first naturalist, and he described a number of animals which were already then became extinct by the time that the U.S. bought the territory.
Mm-hmm.
So he was born March 10th, 1709, died 14th of November, 1746. He was German-born, a naturalist and explorer. He contributed to the fields of biology, zoology, and ethnography. He was he participated in the Great Northern Expedition of 1733 to 1743. Part of that expedition left Kamchatka and sailed east. And there were two ships involved, which we'll get into in a bit. And those two ships first discovered parts of mainland Alaska and actually a number of the islands. So that was run by Vitus Bering.
Mm-hmm.
And Bering, of course, it was his second trip. He had been on his first, cut short due to weather, went back. Catherine the Great wanted another expedition to continue on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, the Russian Academy in Leningrad was St. Petersburg then.
Mm-hmm.
You can see when I grew up if I remember Leningrad.
Right.
So in St. Petersburg was probably the finest scientific academy in Europe. Peter the Great had looked out from Russia to all of the Arctic, and they worked very hard to get very qualified academics, many of whom were German. Germany had great schools, but because they had great schools, there weren't as many opportunities. A lot of the great minds then came to Russia, where there was a very well-supported academy. Well, Steller discovered a lot of new species during this event, his trip. He documented numerous plants and animals. Many were previously unknown to Western science. Notable among his discoveries were the Steller sea cow, which was a type of manatee, and the Steller sea eagle, which looks a bit like a bald eagle. His exploration of the Kamchatka Peninsula and the Commodore Islands expanded scientific knowledge about the biodiversity, things which were just ignored,
mm-hmm,
up to someone like Steller with his curiosity coming along. Well, he was a member then of the expedition of 1741, which had actually started several years earlier. He was the first naturalist to describe the fauna and flora of Alaska and the Commodore Islands and the Aleutians. He was born in Windsheim, in Franconia, which is south central Germany now. He was the son of Johann Jacob and Susanna Steller. He was graduated from the local gymnasium or high school equivalent in 1729. One of the things that's interesting, he was very, very fluent in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
He refused to learn to speak Russian because he thought the Russians were a bit below him. And actually, one of his best friends in Russian became the local archbishop, who spoke Latin fluently as part of his theological training.
Right.
And they would converse in Latin and never speak a word of Russian to each other.
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So we'll find out Steller had a very odd personality. He would work himself beyond what people thought was possible. But as part of that, he had absolutely no patience for other people's shortcomings or their failures, and he absolutely believed that he could not be wrong on any subject.
He and I would not have gotten along.
He didn't get along with many people, and actually his attitude led to some suffering when the party was shipwrecked. So he received a scholarship from the town of Windsheim, and he entered the University of Wittenberg as a student of theology. And if the name Wittenberg and theology ring a little bell, think Martin Luther. So that was Martin Luther's alma mater.
Interesting connections.
There are a lot of times we find out that with the really best of schools and a lot of what went on, that a lot of these very well-known people overlapped because there were not as many places to get a very adequate education. Particularly in biological sciences in those days, a lot of what was being learned at one place and then disseminated, and a lot of it had to do with who the main academic there was. Well, he started this history early in boyhood. He took a lot of courses in botany, anatomy, and medicine. In 1731, he was still a theology student. He decided, though, to go to a career in natural science. That's what really interested him. Now, theologians in the early 1700s, that was still a pretty good job. You could pretty well be assured of having a job for life if you were good at it. Or you weren't killed for heresy.
Well, that too. There was a risk of that.
There were some problems. There were hazards of the job, I guess. He met Johann Friedrich Casaubon, who was a professor of medicine and one of Europe's foremost anatomists. Casaubon treated zoology as a distinct and separate science, which was kind of a new way of looking at it. But he started the idea, this is a separate science, it needs categorized like any other science. He proceeded that way. We know that young Steller was pretty well famous for working hard. He learned a lot about all of the subjects that he could lay hands on. He did a lot of dissections and took great time and detail drawing and describing the animals that came into his laboratory.
Interesting. And it is good to keep things in perspective and back, try and wind back to the time when these events were occurring, new studies. People had more time to think and explore the world around them, but just to keep it in context of what was known and what was not, and how that fits into the progression of things. So it looks like we have got a quarter past the hour. We're going to take a short break for some commercial messages, and want to remind you, you're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. 660 AM, and your guest host is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Nick Nugent. We're talking about history, Alaska history specifically, and we will be right back after these messages, so stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by your local Fairbanks Jiffy Lube. Heading out for some weekend fishing? Make sure your vehicle's ready for the adventure. Stop by either the College or Pegger Road location and let the Jiffy Lube certified technicians get your vehicle in road trip ready shape. Jiffy Lube can help with Pennzoil oil changes, transmission services, air filters, wiper blades, and more. Stop by when it's convenient for you. No appointment necessary. Jiffy Lube proudly pours Pennzoil motor oil. Not just oil, Pennzoil.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
Lori Prox here with Brock Anderson of J-Bear. You caught a nice fish aboard the Devil Dog, a 13.10 pounder. So tell us a little bit about your day and reeling in that big silver.
The day was not going well. I had lost four salmon at this point, and Corey, Captain Corey, who is one of the younger captains out there, was nothing but encouraging. And then on my first fish of the day, it was that 13-pounder. So it turned a not-so-good, bright, sunny day into a better day.
All right. Tell us about where you were fishing. What were you using?
We were out near Glacier Island, and we were using divers, and we were fishing at depths between 60 and 90 feet.
Yeah, that's a long way to bring them in, right? So is that why you thought you were losing some of them?
Potentially, or it could have been technique. I'm not really 100% sure. It was actually one of my first charters using that kind of equipment.
All right. Now, how did the rest of the folks on the boat do?
Everyone pretty much limited out that day. I think we had six people on the boat, and our limit was, you know, three out there in that area. We all limited out in that area, and then we came in closer. And I think we ended up leaving with 32 of the 36, and we spent the whole day out on the water. It was a good day.
The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by the Valdez Convention and Visitors Bureau. Of course, there's great fishing in Valdez, but plan to spend an extra day or two kayaking, taking a glacier cruise, or just hiking to take in the astounding views. For more information on tours, events, trails, and a place to lay your head, visit ValdezAlaska.org.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR Weather.
Cloudy today with a high of 71. Southerly winds around 5 miles per hour. 51 tonight, slight chance of rain. Cloudy tomorrow, chance for rain, 61. Temperatures below average Friday and Saturday with highs in the upper 50s. Scattered showers possible both days. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. This, your guest host this morning on Problem Corner is Mike Prox. With me in the studio is Nick Nugent. And I forgot to mention that if you want to call in, participate in the show, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And it looks like somebody has figured that out on their own. We have a phone call, so let's go to the phone lines. We had a phone call, and I think I pressed the right button, but it dropped. So if you want to call back, the number to call is 458-8255. And we're talking about Alaska history today with Mr. Nick Nugent and trying to put everything into context and understand how exploration works.
Well, the reason this exploration becomes important later, mm-hmm. in case we don't get to some of the wrap-up, they brought back a large number of marine furs with them. And some of those furs sold in China for the equivalent of about $5,000 per fur for the otter fur.
Wow.
This helped trip the seal trade, which, of course, is why the Russians came to the Aleutians and to Alaska in great numbers.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think we got a call back, okay. So let's go to the phone and try that again. Good morning. You're on KFAR, and who am I speaking with?
Ah, hey, this is Tom Kennedy.
Mr. Kennedy, what can we do for you this morning?
Hey, Nick's doing a great job, but I wanted to throw one thing out there that we suffered a loss of one of our last great Alaska historians. Dr. Stephen Haycox died on August 8th, you know, so it's kind of important for folks to know that, like, our leading historians are all kind of passing on.
That is true. Keep that in mind, and we have to really keep up the work. Knowledge is based a lot on what came before us, and the more we get, the different worldview we get, and that's how society advances.
Yep. Anyway, Nick's doing a great job. You guys just keep on going. It's good stuff.
All right. Thank you.
It's unfortunate to see some of the well-known names pass on, people right. that had great insight, because what I have found out in the last 15 to 20 years, diaries, books, things that I would have never found here in Fairbanks, I can now access to help put right. these programs together. And I kind of wonder if some of these really insightful people were still able to get this vast amount of information, particularly personal diaries,
yes.
what their interpretations would be.
Yep.
Well, I'll let you guys go.
All right. Very good. Thanks a lot. Thanks for calling.
Well, you know. Stellar chased around with universities for a while, kept going to where he could find out more. He had the insight to realize that he wanted to go out to new areas, so he needed to learn as much as he could about the state of the natural sciences so that when he went somewhere, he would be able to do an adequate job of describing what he saw. He went then to the Russian Academy of Sciences, again established by Catherine the First, widow of Peter the Great. It was attracting the best scientific talent of Europe at that point. Under its direction, they were planning the second scientific enterprise of great magnitude, the second Kamchatka expedition under Vitus Bering. And Stellar wanted to become part of that. That was the equivalent of you and I being asked, would you guys like to go look at the moon?
It was that kind of an effort to
get there. He was placed in charge of transport of invalided soldiers. He signed on as a medical officer with the Russians, and they had been having a siege of the city of Danzig, Poland. And in 1734, they had a lot of soldiers that needed care and returned to Russia. Stellar signed on, and that's how he came to St. Petersburg. Well, once he was there, he had the good fortune to meet Theophan Prokopovich. He was the Archbishop of Novgorod and the primate of the Russian Church. He took a liking to this young German scientist and invited him to stay as his physician at the church palace. Prokopovich took a liking to Stellar, which is unusual. Stellar had a fairly low opinion of Russians and refused to speak Russian.
Yeah.
And the two of them carried out their entire conversations in Latin, never speaking a word of Russian to each other.
And was Latin even the basis for the Russian language?
Well, it certainly would have been something that the Archbishop would have learned in his theological studies and the science with Stellar. So they both were very, from their studies, were very fluent in Latin. Stellar also met and became a friend of Johann Amann, who was a professor of botany at the Academy. The Archbishop and Amann recommended Stellar to the Academy as being thoroughly qualified to join the Kamchatka expedition. And in January 1737, he was appointed an adjunct of the Academy at a salary of 600 rubles per year. And I don't have a really good feeling how much money that was, but it doesn't sound like a lot.
Doesn't sound like a lot today.
No. He was ordered to go to Kamchatka. He ended up marrying Brigitta Helena Messerschmidt. She was the youthful widow of Daniel Messerschmidt, who was a naturalist and explorer and a friend of Stellar's. He had spent 7 years in Siberia and had died in St. Petersburg, a lot of it because his health was so worn down for the time he spent in Siberia. Stellar had hoped that the wife would accompany him on to Kamchatka. She agreed, but when they got to Moscow, she realized if things keep going downhill as much as they have from St. Petersburg to Moscow, I'm staying here.
Right. And there was no Trans-Siberian Railroad at the time.
Absolutely not. Right. This was all travel in carriage, sleigh, wagons.
Yes.
Pretty slow stuff.
Yes, that's something to think about. Yeah.
And totally exposed to whatever the elements were.
Yep.
Well, the best that could be said about Brigitta from everything we can find printed about her was that she was very competent at turning large amounts of money into small amounts. And she also, with her losses, helped a number of gamblers have very comfortable livings. She was just a gambler beyond imagine and could go through more money than any academic could ever earn.
important to me, yes.
So going through, we remember that Bering's first voyage had been in 1728, and it fell short of expectations, mostly due to weather, lack of knowledge about where they were going. And one of the things they had wanted to do was chart the coast of Asia from Kamchatka north and come to the New World, which they thought might be connected. They had no way of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
They were unable to do that due to weather and just unpreparedness, not realizing how vast the distances were.
Right.
Bering returned. He asked that he be given another chance. And by the fact he was the only person who had went and appeared to be the only person who was interested in going, Catherine gave him another chance and another expedition.
Mm-hmm.
His efforts did get the main outlines of the geography of Northeast Asia, but, of course, not the American continent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, with what Bering was doing, they decided, yes, we will have another expedition. But for some reason, this time it took the Grand Russian style, if you will, which is sort of a brute force expedition.
Uh-huh.
Bering knew the fewer ships, the less supplies he would need, the easier things would be to take care of. The Russian Academy, in fact, decided on an expedition that it took 10 years to prepare for.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just charting the unknown lands, their charge was to take extra people with them so they could find mineral prospects.
Oh. Hey. Go ahead. We're, the music's coming on. The satellite's coming over, but we've got half a minute or so.
Okay, and they could then they were looking for someone to chart the locations of future settlements.
Huh. Yeah. Economics always comes into it. Well, the satellite is coming over. That's what the background music is all about. So we're going to be taking a pause here for some Fox News and the weather and some words from our sponsors. But stay with us. We will be back after that and continue with the work of George Wilhelm Steller. Stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump discussing the surge in tariff revenues on imported goods, crediting the administration's trade policies. He says other countries are starting to acknowledge the United States.
Trillions of dollars is coming in from tariffs from all over the world, from countries that took advantage of our country. They thought we were children. They took advantage of us for decades, and now the money is flowing to us.
The president has delayed higher tariffs on China for another 90 days. D.C. law enforcement making at least 23 arrests yesterday after President Trump deployed National Guard members this week. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise on Fox Business says he believes local politicians allowed things to get to this point.
They don't care about the safety of their own people. President Trump does. He ran on safety and security. It's one of the reasons so many people crossed over and voted for Donald Trump, and he's delivering.
D.C. Democrats say crime was at low numbers. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Radio Kenai reports Senators Lisa Murkowski and Dan Sullivan, along with Representative Nick Begich, have reintroduced legislation aimed at granting land entitlements to five Alaska Native communities in southeast Alaska, those being Haines, Ketchikan, Wrangell, Petersburg, and Tanaki. The proposed Alaska Native Landless Equity Act would amend the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971 to allow these five communities to form urban Native corporations and receive 23,000 acres of federal land each. When ANSCA was enacted over 5 decades ago, these 5 communities were excluded. It is long past time that we acknowledge that these 5 communities were wrongfully excluded from ANCSA. Our landless legislation would remedy this half-century injustice, said Senator Murkowski. This exclusion is a lingering injustice that Congress must finally correct, said Senator Dan Sullivan. Murkowski and Sullivan introduced the bill in the Senate, while Begich plans to introduce companion legislation in the House when it reconvenes.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
This week's 50-50 Friday offer is from Great Harvest Bread Company. They offer a full menu, breakfast sandwiches, soups and sandwiches, fresh salads, fresh baked breads, cookies, scones, muffins, and giant cinnamon rolls, to name just a few items. They grind their own flour daily. It just doesn't get fresher than that. If you're short on time, just swing by the drive-thru. Ask about catering for your next event, too. Great Harvest Bread Company on Airport Way at Wilbur.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
We may not like to think about it, but it's back to school time and you need to be ready. New clothes and school supplies, but what about their smile? Time to get them over to affordable dental care for a checkup and a good cleaning just in time for the new school year. And remember, this is affordable dental care, meaning not only top-notch quality and service, but you'll have money left over for that new backpack, jacket, or whatever the must-have new school year item is. And it all starts with a visit to affordable dental care just off 14th Avenue.
The truth be told, I do not mind being a septic tank. I stay quite busy. I'm an avid reader. I've taught myself the language of the raven. Fascinating creatures, but horrible gossips. Until recently, I have had aspirations to be the first septic tank on Mars. But I know my job is right here, buried in my family's yard. Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' pumps me out once a year, and I continue to serve my family much better.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we're back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox, and with me in the studio is Nick Nugent, and we are talking about the voyages, I guess, or the naturalists that went along with the voyages, discovering of Alaska. The naturalist's name was George Wilhelm Steller. And please continue on. Very interesting history here.
Oh, thank you. Steller was ordered on to meet the Kamchatka expedition, which had left 6 years before. So he hurried across the country, and when he caught up with them, after 6 years, they had only gotten as far as Lake Baikal. That, at first, thinks, well, that's not very good progress. But again, they were moving no faster than a horse could.
Right.
They also, in north-central Russia, you know, they had to stop and seek shelter for a fair part of the year. They were probably holed up. But they also took cases of wines, complete sets of china and silverware, and they tried to live like they were camping in their backyard in St. Petersburg, and that did not help them make good time.
I would bet.
In fact, Gemelin was describing Steller, Gemelin being one of the scientists who was already on the trail, and Gemelin was getting tired of the life out on the steppes, if you will. So he was looking for someone to replace him, and he decided this Steller's the guy, and he wrote a letter. And he said, in the matter of observations, he is exceedingly exact and so indefatigable in all of his undertakings that in this respect, we need not have the slightest anxiety. It was no hardship for him to go hungry and thirsty for a whole day if he was on the trail of a new discovery. And he also goes on, though, to mention that they looked down on Steller a bit because he was out if you will, on expedition, and he was a little rough around the edges. And one of the things they mentioned was that he was not a bit troubled about his clothing, and he had reduced it to the least possible amount. His drinking cup for beer was the same as his cup for mead and whiskey. He dispensed with wine entirely. He had a single dish out of which he ate and in which was served all of his food. He needed no chef. He cooked everything himself by throwing it all into one pot and making basically what amounted to a stew.
Right.
These guys are trying to eat like they're at Parisian restaurants. Right. So you can imagine they probably weren't sure just who had wandered in on them. But they did realize he was extremely competent. Well, after 7 weeks, Steller set out for Kamchatka and arrived there in 1740. Bering asked him to join, to go to Avacha Bay and join the upcoming expedition, and he would be the mineralogist of the expedition. On June 4th, 1741, the expedition sailed, and we don't really have time to get into it, but there were a lot of mistakes made by the Russian Navy in getting supplies there and grounding ships. The reason they ended up with two ships instead of five, one of the Russian admirals ran a ship aground and lost all their food, so they couldn't take more.
Wow.
They took off. They sailed southeast for 9 days in search of a place called Gamma Land. Gamma Land did not exist. It was totally imaginary. It was one of those pet theories of the day when Europeans looked at Europe and North America, they could not believe that the North Pacific could be so open, so they hypothesized there must be another continent like Australia out there somewhere. So they looked for that. The ships were the St. Peter and the St. Paul. They named them after the saint of the day on the day they were christened. Bering was the commander of one. Captain Alexei Chirikov was commander of the second. They were separated, and on June 20th, they never saw each other again from that point on. They were separated in fog. One ship, apparently with lack of navigation, they kept sailing apart. Both ships, though, struck out east by northeast, although a ways apart. So another reason... Bering had gone back to look for this non-existent island and had lost another few days. Well, the St. Paul, under Chirikov, continued eastward, and on July 15th, it discovered land, a small island off Prince of Wales Island in southeast Alaska. He didn't stop. He turned northward, sailed through the Gulf of Alaska, and sighted the Kenai Peninsula and a Fognak Island, missed... Kodiak Island, totally, then westward along the Aleutian chain, and eventually arrived back in Kamchatka on October 10th. That part of the voyage got most of the credit for what happened immediately because they made it back, and as we'll see, Bering's ship was wrecked, and they did not make it back for almost another year. Well, the two vessels then separated. Bering eventually went further and slightly southeast and came to Kayak Island. There they saw, when the fog and clouds parted, they saw this great huge snow-covered mountain, which they named Mount St. Elias, again, for the patron saint of that day. And they landed on Kayak Island, and two boats were sent ashore to get fresh water. And this is the fulfillment of Steller's dream. He literally jumped into waist-deep water to run ashore to start work. The problem was Bering was overly cautious. Bering once said, "I am a sailor, not an explorer." And he believed it was his main duty as a ship captain to get his ship crew and his vessel home safely. So he realized, we're getting late in the year. We don't know what's going on. We aren't perfectly sure where we are or what we'll run into. And after 10 hours, when all of the water was brought on board, he demanded they depart. And of course, Stellar was just, you know, almost mindless over it, and made the comment, "We have spent 10 years to prepare for 10 hours of work, and our greatest accomplishment will be to bring American water to Russia." And so he, again, Stellar wasn't very good at pulling punches.
Right.
Well, they went back, and on the 27th of August, they sighted an island, and on the that was the Shumagin Islands, the group that became the Shumagins out in the Aleutians. And on the 30th, they actually, again, put to shore to bring in water. A lot of the crew had scurvy by this time from lack of fresh food. And this is one of the times when Stellar's personality caused him to clash with the ship's officers. Stellar found a spring with perfectly good water. The ship's officers decided to load the barrels with water that was of not nearly as good a quality. It was partially brackish. Mm. That led to a great number of the crew ending up with scurvy, to the point where only three men were able to come on deck at one point.
Wow.
So, again, unfortunately, a lot of suffering could have been overcome,
right,
had Stellar simply been a little bit easier to get along with and not explain himself like he was talking to idiots.
Right. Yes. That's a skill you have to develop.
Yeah. And it doesn't come easy when you are a very, very bright person like Stellar, and you're dealing with what amount to lifelong bureaucrats and appointees, people who didn't get where they were, particularly by merit. Right. It would be very rough, for I can see, for Stellar. And his prejudice against the Russians,
yep,
didn't help.
Yep.
Well, now we're down to the point where by the end of October, 36 men were on the sick list. Seven had died. And by October 22nd, they changed the course to north-northwest, went through the westernmost of the Aleutian Islands. But they hit some really hideous storms that broke one of the masts. The ship was so beat up, it could not progress forward, mm-hmm, even by tacking. They were blowing backward several hundred miles, which they had to make up at very low speed, mm-hmm, against the wind part of the time. And they eventually then, on November 4th, they did sight land.
Uh-huh. And let's pick it up.
We'll
there after the break. We're coming on the quarter to the hour, and we're going to have to take a break for some commercial messages to support the show. So stay with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Campos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
Mountain View Eye Center is making a difference. Ebba is from the Congo. Her son moved to Alaska bringing Ebba, who had become blind from untreated cataracts. They went to Mountain View Eye Center for cataract surgery, and for the first time in years, Ebba could see clearly. "You are so handsome," she told her son. And then Ebba truly saw her granddaughter for the first time. Good things are happening. Visit mountainvieweyes.com.
You need to fix something? Are you looking for a whatchamacallit or a kinda thingamajig? Find it at Century Hardware. See the largest selection of standard and metric nuts, bolts, and screws in the interior. If it hooks on, holds on, hangs on, clips on, glues on, bolts on, screws in. If it fastens stuff together, Century has it. Always has. Be sure to ask about their prodigious selection of Dumaflagies. Century Hardware. What you need right now.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies expected today with daytime highs approaching 71. South winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Slight chance of rain. Lows level off around 51. Chance for rain tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 61. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 660 AM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me in the studio is Nick Nugent, and we're tracking the voyage of Vitus Bering, and along with him was George Wilhelm Steller, and they're sailing just off the Aleutian Islands, and their boat is falling apart, and we better take it from there.
Well, at this point, things were about as grim as they could have been. They were down to 6 barrels of water. All but 3 of the crew members were incapacitated with scurvy. They see the land. They hope that it's Kamchatka. It's actually now called Bering Island, which is part of the Commodore Islands, very far west in the Aleutians. Mm-hmm. They reached there on November 7th, and due to weather and surf, couldn't bring anyone aboard until November 28th. A heavy gale ran the ship ashore. They slipped the anchors, and they were wrecked on this island that they didn't have a clue. Here, to me, is an interesting change in the story. Steller, who has been aloof, contemptuous, suddenly, he's well, mm-hmm. because he had brought a number of herbs with him that he knew were good for scurvy that the Russians didn't seem to want to use. He started going all over the island, picking the similar herbs from his knowledge, and he knew that fresh meat would help. They were on an island where the animals were not afraid of people. There were no human inhabitants, so they'd come right up, and it wasn't hard to hunt something for fresh meat. The biggest problem they had were with the blue foxes, which were so ravenous that some of the men with scurvy that had passed out, the foxes would run in and start tearing their clothing off to try to get at their bodies. And the foxes were just a torment the whole time they were there. Steller changed. He became a good nurse, if you will. He started really taking care of the men, and they started recovering to the point where after Christmas, they took the wreckage of the boat and built a new boat, which was going to be called the Second St. Paul. The winter was like a lot of the stories we've related on this program. It was just terrible weather with the equipment they had or did not have. But they had fresh water now, and they had plants which had vitamin C in them. Although they didn't realize that, they just knew that for some reason these plants helped with scurvy. Mm-hmm. And they started to recover. They built a boat. Steller, not drinking and not using tobacco, to keep morale up, whichever man did the most work on the day, Steller would give that man his issue of tobacco and wine. So everybody was working as hard as they were physically able, and things began to go pretty well. Well, during this time, they had a fortunate thing happen. This huge manatee-like animal, almost 30 feet long, came to shore, and it's now called the Steller Sea Cow. And it was extremely nutritious meat. They were able to catch a large animal, which served several people for days. Mm-hmm. That animal is currently extinct. Hmm. It died out not very long. This was probably the last living pod of them were on the island. Of course, a lot were taken by this crew and then following mm-hmm. groups. The Steller also discovered the Steller's Jay and the Steller Sea Eagle. So a lot of animals, the only one of the 7 animals that he discovered, which is not endangered, is the Steller's Jay. And there's still a lot of them. So he is the only naturalist to have ever seen the sea cow. And his drawings are invaluable because he's the only person that ever actually got to describe it. Well, they were coming back, and now they've got the task complete. They have a boat by August. That's getting late in the year for that far north. Mm-hmm. And they set off, and 13 days after leaving Bering Island, the surviving members of Bering's expedition arrived safely in Kamchatka. And I did miss the fact Bering himself passed away shortly before Christmas of effects of scurvy and a lot of years of sea life. Mm-hmm. Stiller set about completing the expedition and the investigations. He didn't slow down. He stayed at work. Unfortunately, he had a quarrel with one of the officers, and the officer made a complaint that Stiller was fomenting revolution. So they sent a group out to arrest him. He defended himself and was quickly, the charges were dropped. Mm-hmm. But the clerk, like many of the clerks there, never bothered to file a report. So as Stiller's moving around, word got back to St. Petersburg. They thought he had escaped and sent a party out to capture him.
Hmm.
So they did. They took him back to city. No, we've let him go. Here's the court records. And he was, but during that length of time, this 9 years of strenuous life, this aggravation, Stiller started drinking a lot, which he had not done before. His, particularly after the 1742, you know, maybe a little bit of post-traumatic stress after an event like that. He was drinking very heavily in the summer of 1746, and eventually his health began to be ruined. He was drinking very heavily on his return back to St. Petersburg, and the sleigh driver, Stiller had passed out. The sleigh driver went in to have lunch and didn't bother to take Stiller out of the weather or cover him up. So he sat having lunch for an hour or two, came back out, and Stiller was hypothermic. He passed away a few days later. So wow. A pretty sad end, if yes. You think about it, for a guy with his brilliance,
yeah.
That eventually he just kind of, his personality didn't let him enjoy what he had accomplished. He had the temperament and the ability to do, had he lived to be a normal age, who mm-hmm. knows how many more plants and things he would have discovered. His weak point was his inability to work with others. He was a person of just extraordinary energy, and there were 6 species of birds and mammals that he discovered during the voyage. 2 are extinct, Stiller's sea cow and the spectacled cormorant. 3 are near extinction. And only 1, the Stellar's Jay, is just a common animal to this day. Huh. A lot of these animals were affected. The main thing that all of Stiller led to, they brought back a cache of otter furs. That was okay to the Russians, but in China, those furs were worth the equivalent of $5,000 each.
Wow.
And that set off the great rush of the fur trappers to the islands and eventually to the Alaska mainland. So Bering and Stiller were pretty much directly responsible for the Russian activities, which led whalers, fur hunters, and everyone, and of course eventually led to the Russian America Company selling out to the United States.
Yeah.
An interesting story. You kind of wish, boy, it would have been nice if he could have been a little bit easier to get along with. The sea cow probably didn't last. It was last seen only 27 years after Stiller's death. And I thought it was interesting that all of the reports he had made, everything that was done, was sent back to St. Petersburg. By that time, Catherine had died, and the Tsarina on the throne did not like foreigners. And Russia went into one of its periods of isolation and introspection. His books and guides sat for over 15 years before they were published. And when they were, they literally startled the world.
Hmm.
So a man that probably during his lifetime did not give the credit that we would give him today.
Right. Yeah.
One book to look up, which has been translated into English, is called On the Beasts of the Sea. And he describes as much of the fur-bearing animals as he was able to. Book's still available. I believe it's certainly available online.
Mm-hmm.
And it's worth, if you have any interest in how much more was available then before the fur trade wiped all the animals out, just thumbing through Stellar can be very interesting.
Yeah.
I believe that's all we have.
That's the end of the story. That's a great story. Put things in context and just gives us something to think about. The endurance that people had, resourcefulness, but also the need to not get too full of yourself and be able to get along with people.
Absolutely.
That might have changed the course of history. Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
I really enjoyed that. And now you do this every month.
Yes, the second Wednesday of every month.
Second Wednesday of every month. Well, this is worth tuning into in itself. Great. And you heard it first here on Problem Corner. So let's see. And that was the last of Bering as well.
Bering had passed away, so he had two voyages, and a lot was done. Unfortunately, his health broke in the second one,
mm-hmm.
and that could be why a lot was undone.
Right. Yeah, and just hard to imagine being stuck on an island somewhere and rebuild a ship. I don't think I could do that.
There was one there was only one carpenter amongst the crew. So basically, that was the guy that Stellar made sure always ate well and was in good health.
You bet. Yes. Yeah, it's just hard to imagine. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
For being here. And thank everyone else for listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. We hear the music in the background, and that means a satellite is coming overhead. Something new that Bering didn't have to worry about, but that interrupts our journey. Other things interrupted his journey. But thank you for staying with us, and tune in tomorrow at 11, and we'll see you then.
Setting expectations, I'm Tom Graham, Fox News. President Trump says he'll push for a halt to the fighting in Ukraine as he prepares for Friday's meeting with Russian leader Vladimir Putin.
This war would have never happened if I were president. But it is what it is, and I'm here to fix it, and I'm here to stop 6,000, 7,000 people last week. 7,213 people last week were killed, mostly soldiers.
President has been ramping up pressure on Putin as he pushes for a ceasefire deal. Ukrainian leader Volodymyr Zelensky will not be attending Friday's meeting in Alaska. Some Washington leaders have been critical of President Trump's temporary federal takeover of the D.C. Metro Police, but there also appears to be cooperation. Police Chief Pamela Smith.
What we're going to do is build upon that and working collaboratively with our U.S. Marshals, our DEA, and all of the other federal partners here to ensure that we're placing resources around our city in those areas where we've seen an impact at this increase in crime.
Speaking on Fox's Good Day DC, the administration also calling for tougher laws to crack down on juveniles. U.S. Attorney for DC, Jeanine Pirro.
The president wants to make the Capitol safe and beautiful, and that's exactly what we're going to do. And the only way to do that is to change the laws that have protected young children who are committing adult crimes.
Federal government taking